I don't get to do this too often, and it'll be a treat for me. Maybe not for you, but for me, it'll be a treat. We have the first scripture, please. The title of this message is called God's Plan for Passing the Baton. We all know this scripture, but I'm going to give you the prophetic insight to its truth. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's pray. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit just flood me to break down for your people's understanding to your truth. I am humbled at what you are doing in the land today, and I am humbled that I am a part of it, and all your people are a part of it. May they see and recognize the truth and do all things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We know that this is a saying out of prophecy by Isaiah, and we all know that it's Messiah, it's Christ. But there's an interesting statement within those words. And that is in verse 9. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. You see, Jesus is alive, whether you understand this or not. Whether you comprehend the truth to this reality or not. The fact is, he's alive. He is our king. And we're part of his government. And his government rules over us. Now, I know some people have difficulty with that because I've watched people through the years really struggle with God's authority. They accept Christ as Savior, but they don't readily accept him as Lord. And so today I want to give you some vision to understand that I accepted him as my Savior. And coincidentally, he's my Savior and Lord. And so that defies a lot of things. I've had to sacrifice a lot of areas in my life. As the scripture out of Psalm 116 says, you know, God is pleased when we die to ourselves. Well pleasing. Because when we die to what we want, to what he wants, it changes everything. How many of us, when we were growing up, our parents had plans for our kids, for us? No? Only a couple of us? My plans for my parents was, when you're 18, you're out the door. And at 18, I was out the door. At 20, I got married. At 30, I got saved. And I began to seek God. Not for me, well, for me, but also for my family. You see, a lot of us that have grown up, really, if it wasn't our parents, we as parents make plans for our children. We want them to make a distinct mark in history. We want them to do, as our parents would say, something with your life. That may be, like in my case, I wanted to be a pilot. I love flying. But that's not what it turned out to be. Many of us have made our own plans And not once did we consider some important questions. Why did God create me? What is His plan for my life? What am I going to do about it? Finding out what that plan is. And how is it going to come to fruition? You see, God has a wonderful plan for each and every one of us, irregardless to what our parents have thought about or even wanted. I learned a long time ago when my son was, I guess he was, I don't know, 8, 9 years old. I asked the Lord, I said, what would you have my son do? Because I was new in the pastorate. And of course, everyone thinks, well, you know, you're part of the pastorate. Your kid's going to take over. You're going to be a pastor. He's going to be a pastor. To my surprise, God spoke to me and He said, Deuteronomy 8:18. I'm like, okay. And I can quote it to you. He has given us the power to create wealth for the establishing of His kingdom. And my son, at the time, was thinking about becoming an engineer. I mean, all young people think about making tons of money. They think about how they're going to impact our lives and make buku bucks. After all, I'm in the lap of luxury. I'm getting paid a ton of money being your pastor. Yes, that's meant to be a joke. My dividends are what God deems for me. But today my son is a successful businessman who is in finances. And his heart is to serve the people of God, also to make money, but also to serve the people of God. He does a lot of gratis work for individuals. And if anyone knows about financial advisors or planning and stuff like that, your first time that you go and meet them, you're paying. That's why people don't go to them. My son has a different philosophy. You go to him. He's not going to charge you. He'll set up a plan for you. And then it's up to you whether you want to walk this out or not. God knows exactly what He's doing. Scripture, please. God says to you, each and every one of you, I have shaped you in the womb. I knew you all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. As a prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you. How many of us believe that? I do. Before you were born, God has a plan for you. The problem with that is that His plan does not coincide with ours. Next scripture. We're going to take a walk through the Bible. Jeremiah 29 says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you a future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I will listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes. When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. That's the truth. How many of us really want God? We want salvation. We know we're fearful of eternal judgment and damnation, but that's not the end of the story, because the story begins with each and every one of us making a decision. Are we going to fall into His jurisdiction? His kingdom and do what He tells us to do, or not. That's where we're butting heads. Do we seek Him with a whole heart? Do we really want Him? Or do we just say, yeah, I want you, God. You know I love you, dude. I can't tell you the struggles I personally have gone through and still am going through. I'm just like you. Only in my vocabulary, it's, yes, Lord. Not an option. You see, God is either Lord or He's not Lord. There's no middle ground where we can justify where we're at. And where we're at, He has a plan for us. Every time we make a decision, He's trying to get us back to that plan. Every time. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. No, I understand more than you understand. God does things in order to bring us back to those areas. And when we seek Him, and years ago I used to say, when you want the next breath of life after someone's holding your head underwater, not during baptism, but, you know, just holding your head underwater and you're thrashing around, and then they yank you up so you can breathe. That's how earnest you want God. Time is too short to be playing games. And those games really we have to understand that Satan also has a plan for our lives. Do not believe that Satan is not real. He's fictitious. He's made up. He hates you. He hates me. Why? One, because we're created in the image of God. Two, because God favors us. That's called grace. And three, we have the victory in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that the plan of God includes not only your life now, but in the one to come. How many of us have thought, well, when I check out of Hotel 6, I'm going to find a cloud, the angels are going to give me a harp, and I'm just going to praise God all that time? How juvenile is that thought? Jesus tried to make us understand that in this life, we are kings and priests. Everything that goes on in our life, He commands us to take rulership of it. He's the king. We do what it is. We submit to Him. And then He says, go and do this. I'll show you how to do it. Now go do it. When our attitude stinks, we're butting head with the Spirit of God, who is trying to teach us how to be kings in the house of God. There are rules in this house that I will not compromise. As I said to one person, it's parenting the children of God, and I mean that, parenting the children of God, because that's how we behave in His house, like little children. Not positively, but negatively. And so my job as a pastor is to stand up for His righteousness. This is Daddy's house. There are certain ways that you are to conduct yourself in Daddy's house. How many of us didn't have any rules in our parents' house? Wow. See, Jess, rules were good. Not why. In each one of our houses is a reflection of what it's to be like in Daddy's house. And Daddy has a plan for you. And that plan is so great. It's so awesome. You can't think of it. As Pastor Gomez said, you know, you just can't imagine how awesome God is. Next scripture, please. However, as it is written, no eye has seen or ear heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Remember, my initial question is, do you love God? I never thought that I would be the person that I am today. I didn't plan on being a pastor. When God called me, he said, I'm going to make you in the likeness of Jeremiah. And for years I pondered that. And you know what? Jeremiah was an end time prophet, an end time for Israel. I am an end time prophet for spiritual Israel. And I am trying to get his people to understand how to behave in his house so that we can go and get those out. If you read the book of Jeremiah, you will see that he was ridiculed. He was thrown into prison. He was hated by the religious leaders. I haven't been thrown into prison yet, but I fully expect it. What has God called into your life? It's far beyond what we could ever comprehend. It's beyond us. Like I said, I wanted to be a pilot. He said I was a prophet to the nations. He says you're a prophet to the nations. And that's the truth. You are in Jesus Christ. Don't prophesy out of yourself. Prophesy out of his spirit, because he will tell you what to say to those who he wants to touch. And it's up to them to hear with the ear or not. Submitting to God's authority is also submitting to the local authority of the pastors and the elders and stuff. Not that we're going to tell you what to do, but we're going to tell you what God says. You decide for yourselves. That's the truth. We're exhorted not to lord it over you guys. Although we have the right, we are delegated authorities from God. We are here to lay down our lives to protect you. But if you don't want that, if you want to keep stepping out of the umbrella of protection, that is your choice. And a lot of us, we give in to those compulsions. We give in to those things that will shipwreck God's plan in our life. You see, there isn't a thing that when we started in sin, we went this way and Christ was over there, and then all of a sudden we just transverse across and we're walking with Jesus. No, at the moment we get saved, we got to go back and then start walking with him. Because he gives us a double blessing. He gives us the blessing to see the mess we've created by our own decisions, and then he's going to show us how he's going to clean it up. That's our God. No ear has heard. You haven't heard about the plan of God because really you don't understand the plan of God for you. Two, no eye has seen. You haven't seen it working out in your life to the fullest extent because you have put excuses and every kind of reasoning before just saying yes to God. All of us are guilty. And that's the truth. We want God in times of trouble. So we run to the emergency thing, we break the glass, we get the axe out, it's called God, and then we hatch it all through all this stuff. Whew. And when we get out of the mess that we created, we go immediately back, we forget God. God has a plan for you. And he's earnest about that fulfillment. What happens is we spend an inordinate amount of time looking for a job 9 to 5, and instead of realizing that, yeah, in part of looking for that job, we become enslaved to that job. We don't live. Christ promised us life in abundance. But are you living? The only way that I know that you live is in the will of God. Doing exactly what He's told you to do. The plan. The plan of God is that each and every one of us submit to His authority and His delegated authority. Abide by the rules. Don't break the rules and then justify yourself before Him. I may not see, but many of you know that I talk with God. And many of you know that when I sit next to you and I ask a certain question, I already know what God has said. That is a double sword in that those who are new with us never had a prophet or experienced a prophet in such a way for your good. And I'll get to the purpose of the prophet, the purpose of things that God has given to us and why they are here for your benefit. It's easier for us to embrace what He says than to run from it, which many of us do. We hear the call, we run from it, and then we become excuse-ridden about it. Others bury the calling. We see this in the parable of the talents. We bury it because I was afraid of what? Of greatness? Let's face it, each and every one of you is great. And the greatness that God has put into you is but a mustard seed. And you have the power in Jesus Christ to allow this to germinate within your heart and watch it bloom. Watch what God does with that, that little bit of faith. The thing is, it takes time. And we want instant gratification for everything. Then there's others like myself. Early on when God called me into ministry, I used to apologize. Who am I, God, that you make such a high calling in my life? And those brothers and sisters I would talk with, and they said, what God has God said to you? And I apologize. I said, well, you know, He said this or that. And, you know, I'm sorry for this. The day I stopped apologizing for my call was the day the anointing began to flow. You are anointed for something. God has already seen this. And He wants it to come to fruition. That's called fruitfulness. Whatever the case is, next scripture please. Whatever the case is, we are going to give an account to God. Really. God says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Jesus said, I do nothing except the Father shows me. I do everything to please Him. How many of us are doing what God has said to do? How many of us have excused? How many of us don't even know? How many of us are saved? How many of us love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength? Yeah. That's one of the rules for streams. The other one is to love myself like you guys. No, no, it's not. Somebody's a pain being awake. No, it's to love you as I love myself. You is always before me. Two rules. It's going to take us a lifetime. But God, in His plan, seeing that each and every one of us would have a job in His kingdom. I call it a J-O-B because that's how I view things. Your job is not any less important than my job. Whether it's cleaning the toilets, cleaning the church, whether it's teaching the young kids, whether it's preaching. Your job is probably more important than my job. My job is to care for you and teach you how to act in the ways of God. But there is something called rebellion within our hearts. Oh, I don't want to do what God tells me to tell me to do. Is it God? That's my first question. What is God saying to you? I want to know. Because part of my job is to discern for you who are unable to discern the voice of God. Consistently. I'm not saying you don't hear from God. I'm not saying that you don't discern. Satan speaks. Remember, Satan has a plan. And his plan is to divide you. It is to separate you from the local church. It is designed for you to chase after whatever you want, not what God wants. Next scripture. And it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Christ gave these gifts. They are overall what I refer to as fivefold ministry gifts. Who can tell me what an apostle is? It's the father of the churches. We're in the church. That's correct. He fathers God's people through mentoring, through deliberate discipleship, through encouragement, to reaffirm. We have such an identity problem in the Church of Jesus Christ that men would rather have women lead the church than men take their rightful place. God has ordained men. He said way back in the garden, when Adam began to shift blame and say it was the wife. Well, I'll just go around and whatever she wants to do, we'll do. It's fine. Men need to be heads of their household. Uncompromising what the Word of God says. He's not anti-woman. God doesn't want our ladies burdened with the responsibilities of the men. But they're carrying it. And so, in carrying these responsibilities, they feel that they have the right to lead. And guess what? The guys will lead. They'll lead right to the couch, right to the sofa, right to the remote, right to the TV set. Yeah. I'll get to it when I get to it, honey. I just want to do this. That's not Christ. Apostles are to establish God's kingdom, God's government, in the church and abroad. Who can tell me what a prophet does? I can tell you. Come on. Come on. It's a free-for-all. Okay, that's all of us. Okay. Are you saying he's old? Can't be as young as you. hmm. A prophet brings accountability and correction that assists maintaining the standards of God within his house. He doesn't correct outside. He corrects within the house. To the standards of God. Are you submitted to the corrections that God wants for you in order for your life to get onto his plan of success? They are there to enforce consequences of failure to everyone who does their own thing. My opinion is, I'll give you the word of God. It's up to you to decide what you're going to do. These are the consequences. These are the consequences. This is what God says to me to tell you what your decision is going to be. If you don't want to comply, don't cry about, I just don't have too much money, God. I can't do this. I can't. Stop telling me you can't. Let's begin by telling me what you can do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is there an exemption in that? But why is God's people so defeated? Because we don't really love God. That's the truth. My job is to extend mercy. It's to empathize with those leaders who have fallen or people who have fallen. And I will walk beside you in the process of restoration. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you fall in love with Jesus Christ who saved our souls. I remember a time when Holy Spirit was all over where and at the end of the service, she says, Pastor, do I have to change? Do I have to become a Christian and give up my Judaism? Like, no. You will be made complete in Jesus Christ. We are complete in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what we believed before. Do you believe in Jesus more than just being a Savior? And one day he'll come through the sky, he'll take us home, and I'll be playing my harp on my cloud. I like harps. I think they can be, especially if they're gold. What does an evangelist do? Uh-oh. Sorta. Both are hitting the fringes of the truth. But the truth of it is producing fruitfulness through the heralding of the gospel. Our job as an evangelist is to just speak what the truth is. We don't have to harvest them. We don't have to cut and clean them. We don't have to bring them to church. God has brought the church to them by your representation. And when they respond, there's fruitfulness in that. And what the evangelist does is purposefully helps them get into the programs of the church so they can learn who they are, learn the laws of God, become mature in fulfilling the call of God in their lives, and God will give increase. That's how the church, I understand it, will be built. But we do a whole lot of things in the modern church that is not biblical. Pastors, they are shepherds. They assist in the inner healings of the wounds of God's people. Once you come in, you're messed up. I'm still messed up. As my mom used to say, I'm a mess. That's what she used to say about me. I'm a mess. I need Jesus. Without Jesus, I'm nothing. And a shepherd takes care of those inner wounds, brings them to good pasture, feeds them, cares for them, cuts off all the stuff that is junk in their lives, advises them how to become successful in Jesus Christ, turning your life over, leading the flock from field to field, and watching them grow in strength. Eventually, when they mature, they will reproduce, which is another way that God adds to the local church. What does a teacher do? What's that mean? Teaching, yeah. Okay. They're euphemisms, but his actual job is to instruct, to manifest righteousness, holiness, and obedience among the people of God through the scriptures. If you don't know what God expects, go ask one of our teachers, and Pastor Dan is a teacher. I prophesied that more than 15 years ago over him. I prophesied over him shortly after he came to Streams. And you know what? God's word is true. Part of the job of a prophet is confirmation. God is speaking something to you, and I will come, and I have no idea what he's been saying to you, and I will confirm. And you're the recent one that has gotten that. Prophets are not instilled into the church to instill fear, but to promote the love of God amongst his people. We get fearful because we're afraid of what the prophet may say. What does that mean? Well, it means as we mature and we can see the plan that is taking shape in our lives, the reality of Christ, what he has called into our lives, becomes manifest. It's not my job to tell you what your job is, but you seem to think that it's your job to tell me what my job is. Which is okay, because I'm going to do what God says anyhow. So go ahead. You know, waste your breath. I mean that affectionately. No, I will not. I won't even take it to God. And a lot of times the plan of God is longer than our lifetime. And we will see the reality of it. And Pastor Dan asked you last week, who are you going to pass the baton to? And that's a reality, because from where we stand, we're looking not only to impart into you the reality of the call of God into your lives, but who are you pouring into the same things? You see, when we had the business meeting, I said something, and I don't know how many of you has caught it, but I said, this year, you guys are going to make disciples. It's your responsibility, not the pastor. His job is to take care of them. It's your job. God's already ordained people you're supposed to go talk to. People who are watching your lives. People who you are supposed to share the gospel with. People you are to lay hands on and heal in Jesus' name. He's got it all planned out for you. He's got it all figured out. It's not the high holy man. It's a high holy people of God. If you're in Jesus Christ, why aren't you doing the things that Jesus did? And everything he did, he said, greater works will we do, because there's more of us. And because this plan of God is taking generations, ever since Christ, it's been over 2,000 years, and we're coming to the end. We're coming to the end. And in those years, a baton has been passed to every next generation. God loves you so much. He doesn't want you to throw away what He's called into your life. But Pastor, I'm 65 years old. Yeah, so am I. And what He's calling now into my life is requiring me to pass the baton. Pastor Dan, he's not here today, but he humbled me last week by the kind words he said about the sacrifice I've made, my family has made, but I have to tell you that it was not possible would have it, having a helpmate who's on the same page, without having children who want God. What he shared with you is true. It is. And no one will know except my family and some of the leaders of the church what we've sacrificed to get us to this point. And we're not done yet. We are not done yet. We are just starting to get going. Pastor Dan has a call, and he's responding to the call, and his family is not here because I am wise enough to understand that Pastor Dan is not my possession. He's God's. Scripture says, a gift will make a way for you. I must give and make room for that gift, whether here at Streams or into the body. And Pastor Dan, he's already chasing what God has said. Passing the baton. For me, it's exhilarating because one of my sons is not satisfied until they do what God has called them to do. It's exciting for me because I'm going to be passing the baton next week, Pastor Gary. He will become the pastor of Streams of Life. He has a true shepherd's anointing. And I graciously move over to make room for Pastor Gary. It's exciting for me. He's more than just a son in the Lord. He's my son-in-law who I would say in the early stages has sought me out to pick my brain. I can't tell you how many hours we spent in the office where he was just peppering me with questions. And then Jess would call, hey, are you going to send my husband home? Well, that's up to your husband. I'm just going to keep answering questions. With others, I know you work hard all day long and you come visit and we sit and talk. And then I kick you out because I'm tired. Not because I don't want to answer. But Pastor Gary is to be the next shepherd. God had told me when I was on sabbatical last year. Not that I'm retiring. You don't retire in the kingdom. There's no retirement in the kingdom. He's got something else for me to do. And that something else is to help Streams grow. Help Streams. And part of that is, and I will tell you, is we will begin to start assembling the School of the Prophets and teaching people who have a prophetic call in their lives or operate prophetically through dreams, visions, and whatnot so that we can minister to the body of Christ, not just one person ministering to the body of Christ, but all of us, and building teams to send them to other churches. That's what God has called for me. Jesus is increasing his government, which was the beginning. There's no end to his government. You're either in his government, under his government, or out of his government. No middle ground. I love you guys dearly, but I love God more. I really do. I've seen what he has done in my life. And I've cried out to God, fix this thing yesterday. Like you guys. You know, stuff happens and you make plans that don't coincide with what God says. Two things I ask of you. And I've been researching this in the scriptures. Is one, take this week to sanctify yourselves. Do we know what sanctification is? It's a self-examination to see if there's any sin within you and allow the Holy Spirit to examine you and get rid of it. Get rid of it. Two, bring a sacrifice. Bring a sacrifice before God. Let God speak to you. And let him tell you what your sacrifice is. Next week, we're going to celebrate the passing of the baton. We're not going to have a word ministry or anything. And I know this has been long. And thank you for your understanding in this. This is a good time. For us in Fivefold, we won't need the worship team. We won't need them. I ask you again, consecrate yourselves. Get clean before God so that all of us can start clean with God. Honor what God is doing with a sacrifice. And all of us are to bring a sacrifice that is honoring to God, not to me, not to Pastor Gary. We're just servants. Do you think we can do that? I think we can. I think you guys love God, and you're going to fall in love with him even more, because love is not just a one-time event and then it goes. It grows and it goes deeper. Where you are right now in your love for God will take you deeper. Amen? Amen. Amen. And share your experience. Tell people to come and see this. This does not happen in the church. Because what happens in the church is, well, we'll have somebody come in. We have a board to elect a pastor. And then the board will tell the pastor what to do. No, 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 no. God will tell the pastor what to do. I'm to work alongside the pastor. But he's going to make decisions that will cause the church to grow, cause you to grow, and cause fruitfulness to come in place. Amen? Amen. Father, we just rejoice in you. We rejoice in what you're doing. I rejoice. I'm not sad that my time for shepherding the flock is coming to a close. I'm rejoicing of the new opportunities that you're giving to me and to all who participate. God, you have done awesome things. You have taken us as vagabonds through the desert to bring us to this house. You have given us a sign. You have given us, just recently, you have repaired our roof. And we praise you for that, God. And we will praise you that you will pay for that roof. God, we thank you for each one that's here. We are just grateful, God, for them. But in these last days, God, these last hours is what I would like to say. I am in earnest of heart, like Jesus was in earnest, to drink the fruits of the vine at the end of, before he was crucified. I have that same earnest to see your will done on earth as it is in heaven. I ask that you bless your people, God. Bless them richly. Cause them to ponder what has been said and ponder what they're going to do, their next step. God, bless them richly. Fill this house with joy unspeakable. And until we get together again, I release God's people. Amen. Amen.